Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Metal Cough!
Hey, behave!
All right, John, Monday, a rare Monday recording. Not a rare Monday appearance on the tube, but a rare Monday podcast recording. What's up, everybody?
Had to give our mothers some love, guy.
That's right.
Mother's love. Mother's Day. Day off for us men.
That's how you show the proper respect, John. That's how you show the proper respect.
Yes.
Hopefully, if you're in the Mother's Day business, you had a good Mother's Day. If not, well, we're here now, so it all works out.
Yep. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Belated Mother's Day. Well, mainly men listen to this, so slash guys slash younger adults. So tell your moms and your wives, if they have children, happy Mother's Day for us.
It's going to sound like it's an attempt to be rude, but it's not. We're thankful for all your moms.
We are. Without them having you and deciding to, conceive on that given night, within the last 20 to 40 years. Yeah, maybe they didn't even, we wouldn't have you with your AirPods in or driving around your car. Listen to us. So thank you.
I know
you guys' mothers.
I can say this definitively, John, from what I've been told, my appearance here was not so much a decision as it is a surprise. So
yeah,
it's good to be here.
I was definitely not a surprise, told my brother was.
Oh, okay. Let's just say I was born 7 months after the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, shit happens,
Was he premature? No.
I've been to a few pregnant weddings.
Yeah? When you knew?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she was noticeably pregnant.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It happens.
It happens. It definitely happens. If you're watching the YouTube, we're glad you're here. Subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, like this video. We appreciate that. If you're listening... Early sirens.
I mean,
on the
San Francisco's
today.
A war zone, guy.
Somebody the other day, sirens went by here, and somebody for whatever reason assumed it was you, and they said, "John must live in the hood."
Yeah.
In any event, if you're listening, we got the YouTube. If you're watching, we got the podcast. So, check it out.
Also, we do the ham mailbag every week. So you just go to Apple iTunes, you leave a little review, really easy, little 5-star, but leave a question. And then you get your question answered here on a Friday. On a YouTube, we do a live stream, and then we put it out as a podcast for Saturday morning for, we just like to give the people who are doing some honeydews, some chores, maybe just a jog or a walk or whatever the hell you're doing on Saturday, something to listen to.
Yeah. Whatever you got.
Yeah.
When you're pretending to sleep in, but you're checking your phone.
Anything else?
I saw
you already mentioned the DraftKings game this week.
I did not. No, mention that.
We got a DraftKings game out. You can find it. I think we both linked it on our Instagram. Rory McIlroy, big Rory McIlroy. It's hard name to say. Rory McIlroy, big win, and he's not playing. I looked at the list this week, but Texas, Dallas. I guess it's a home game. Bryson, he gets to sleep at home. Yeah, so. PGA Championship next week.
This might be a
PGA
longer...
Championship next week.
Where is it this year?
Shinnecock? Kiowa.
There's some classic golf names. I'd say Shinnecock. The place up in New York, classic golf name.
Bethpage.
Bethpage Black, classic golf name, yeah.
Olympic's pretty good. Olympic Club.
Olympic's a great one.
Pebble Beach.
Yep, Pebble. I would say, but like Olympic and Pebble, maybe just because of where we live, I know where they are. There's some other ones where I don't actually know where Shinnecock is. There's one classic. What's one of the classic American Ryder Cups? I think maybe it's like in Minnesota or something like that.
Whistling Straits?
Yeah, Whistling Straits.
That's pretty good.
That's just one I've heard all the time. I never exactly know where it is. Maybe
Seminole's pretty good, where they play the Walker
Seminole's
Cup.
A good one. Yeah, that was fun to watch. I watched some of that yesterday morning.
That was pretty sweet. Brady's a member there.
Looks hard as hell.
Yeah, it doesn't look easy. It does not look easy. Did you know they got both teams got hit with Montezuma's / food poisoning, and they were shitting, puking their brain? Like, everyone was sick, both sides.
I didn't know you could get hit with Montezuma in the United States.
Maybe it wasn't Montezuma, but it was something like, coming out of both at every end. So it was ugly.
Just something from the team meal, huh? From the box.
Yeah, there
lunch.
Was a dude like from, I watched the guy win from Ireland. And he claimed that it was the only match there was no way I wasn't at least going to get one match in, but I was shot the last couple days.
Oh my God.
I guess Tyler Scarfacci, the dude that won the USAM who played in the Masters, had a noticeable like big Band-Aid where clearly they were pumping IVs into him. He didn't turn pro strictly for the Ryder Cup. The Walker Cup. So it was a, really, the course is sweet.
I'll be honest. I was watching some of it yesterday. I didn't quite understand what I was watching. It's like 7.5 and 7, 8.5. And
yeah,
like,
it's basically the Ryder Cup. It's the Ryder Cup with amateurs, kind of, I think, is the idea.
Yeah, it's cool concept. I mean, Cole Hammer, the guy from Texas, I recognize him.
We had a 30-year-old guy on the American team.
Did we?
So it's not just college guys, yes.
BYU?
It's amateurs. No, I think he's been out of college for a while. So, yeah, shit happens. So, DK game, get in it. And yeah, we'll have some betting content, I'm sure, next week for... I've already been circling, got some ideas for Kiowa.
Okay.
I mean, Rory, he won the PGA Championship there a decade ago.
Wow.
And his odds right now are 18-1. I would guess they would slowly work up this week.
Did you consider getting Bryson, before we dive into some football here, did you consider jumping on Bryson? As I saw somebody tweet, Bryson leaves... in 78th place, lands, finds out he's made the cut, he's got to fly back. Somebody tweeted at one point he was 2,600-1.
Yeah. I
looked at 2,200-1, and he was already in like sixth place. I'm like, you can still get him at 2,200-1 in sixth place?
He was sixth place, but he was like five or six shots back. It was one of those. I contemplated. I did not had good luck. Yeah.
Not 2,200-1. I guess it would have been 22.
It would 22-1. Plus 2,200. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So a lot to dive into here on the pod today. We appreciate everybody hanging with us. So let's just dive in. It is a big week. Something to look forward to this week, John, which is the NFL schedule release is on Wednesday night.
Oh, nothing like... Because we already know the game, just knowing the dates of the games.
But I would also...
It is a big deal.
Where the prime time picks are. Like, I thought one of the fun things...
Monday night's now flexible, though, at the end of the season, I think. Like, I think week 12 to 17 starts this
11.
Year.
Oh, week 11. 12? NBC is 11. You saying Monday night football is maybe a week later?
I think Monday night football is late in the season. That might kick in 22. I'm sure we'll get more information as this week goes on.
Okay. But you do get... Like,
again, though, we give you credit for the game when we talk about it this week. That the flex is really more of a conversation in the season, right?
Yeah.
You get credit if you get multiple Sunday night games in the flex window when we're
absolutely
fired up on it.
Yeah. I mean, that was
whoever your team
is. I thought one of the fun things that Peter King wrote about, and yes, we will be doing a live show Wednesday night during the schedule release. I think it's going to end up being at 5 Pacific. But I think one of the fun things that Peter King wrote about in his... FNIA was Thursday night Buck. What do they do with the Bucks? Here are the Bucks home games. The Bucks are going to be at home Thursday night to start the season. You're not going to give them the Giants. So it's probably going to end up being the Cowboys or the Bears? Was his guess, I think.
You don't think you could give them like...
Buffalo. Cowboys or the Buffalo was his
guess. You couldn't give them like the Falcons or Sam Darnold? Is that...
I don't think that holds up like Buffalo or Dallas would.
Yeah, Dallas is a pretty easy one. But I, even but my point is always, like, I get it. You want to start with a bang. But if I gave you Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers against the Bucks at home Thursday night, is that getting less viewer? Obviously, Dallas is so big, but it's opening night, the NFL. Like, yeah. Isn't it kind of a BP fastball? Like, it's just going to be so big no matter what. Who cares?
I think you just try to hit. I mean, you could argue that, but why not just try and
hit, like, coming out the gate swinging.
Let's try and hit it. Not just hit a home run, but let's try and hit it 620 feet. But
NBC would be pissed because they usually like the Cowboys week one against the Giants.
That's true.
It feels like their go-to game.
Definitely does. Definitely does. But look, that's the beauty of this. So it does seem like, you know, you and I talked about this the other day. I think Connor Orr ranked his divisions last week or Friday, had the NFC West number one. The Athletic had a piece today, NFL power rankings. I don't know where the Cardinals were, but the other three teams in the division were all top 10. Like, the margins in these divisions, particularly the NFC West, are going to be thin. The difference between some of these strength of schedule games the Niners are playing, that, like, you know, the Bengals as an example, which was their Week 17 game, like, these could end up being the differences in an NFC West that I think at this point everyone's really bullish on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that on paper the NFC West, the best division in football. And, you know, it's weird because no one takes the Cardinals that seriously, but they play within the division very hard. One thing in the Athletic article that they pointed out, I would, if I'm doing power rankings, and listen, doing power rankings in May is just a fun exercise, but I would not have the Niners over Seattle. And they had the Rams, basically went 6-7-8 in the league, went Rams, Niners, Seattle. To me, like, if Seattle's earned it, like, the Niners would be eighth. I would flip-flop those two, but who cares? Ultimately, this division is, like, the NFC North, or excuse me, the AFC North, if you were just looking at divisions in the league, would probably clearly be the second best division in football, but they have a team that no one takes seriously in the Bengals. The Niners do not, or excuse me, the NFC West does not have a throwaway team. Like, I don't take the Cardinals that seriously as a playoff team, but if you tell me they went 8-9 or 9-8, like, that is believable. Like, the right. Bengals don't have 8 wins in their franchise this year. Like, to me, the Bengals could win 4 games, right? And that's when we talk schedule release. One thing that is going to separate the Niners versus these other teams, their 17th game is versus the AFC North. And the Niners, because they finished last season, drew the Bengals. So the Browns, the Steelers, and the Ravens, like, those other three teams got to play those three teams. Those easily could be 3 losses, right? Especially because this year the AFC hosts the games. That's a huge swing game for the Niners, where they just got lucky that last year they finished in last. I mean, they didn't want to finish in last, but big picture, now that season's over, it has big ramifications. There's a big difference between playing, I guess, the Steelers would. Yeah, the Browns were the third place team, guy. So the Cardinals drew the Browns, and the Niners drew the fucking Bengals. Like, that's a big swing, is it? I mean, the Browns could easily be a 12 or 13 win team.
Well, they were last year, and they won 11.
Some people view the Browns as arguably the best roster in the league, top to bottom. Now, the quarterback, he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but their roster is loaded. See, Myles Garrett, were you watching the draft when he came out and did the pick?
Looked like he was wearing one of those fake suits with, like, fake muscles in it.
He's enormous. I saw someone tweet out a deal of him doing abs. You know, one of those things where people hold your feet and you just go up and down, but you stay parallel and you don't. He was able to do that. Like, 290. The guy's, I mean, he's a freak show.
One of the things, and I apologize, I don't know, is it Sheil Kapadia for the Athletic? Yeah. One of the things written in the power rankings piece was Niners were the unhealthiest team in the league last year, right? In terms of injury luck, whatever you want to call it. Worst injury luck in the league, and the third toughest schedule. And with that, they still were not, you know, in the top 5 in terms of draft position. They still managed to, I mean, were they in playoff contention? No, but they kept the conversation alive for a good portion of the season. So I do understand, because I'm a little surprised when I see that. I'm with you on Seattle. I'm not surprised in the discussion of the divisions, because as you and I have talked about, the fourth place team in this division last year, it's better than everybody else's fourth place team. It's about the depth and the fact that you do have teams, Rams, Seahawks, and you would say and certainly the Niners think this way, that do think about winning the Super Bowl, right? These are teams that every year. In terms of the power rankings, I do think a lot of that is about, it's about the schedule and it's about the injury history, because the Niners, to me, are not a team that can afford to be, forget about being the unluckiest, I don't think they can afford to be like 15th in injury luck and be a top.
They need a big 17. Swing back. They need a big swing back.
Yeah, like they were a couple years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, they were the healthiest team in the league. They were bad. They were the unhealthiest team in the league. I don't think they can be like 16th healthiest, though. Like, I think they've got to be like a top 10 health team, just because, again, their best players are the ones that got hurt. Their best players are the ones that they're going to rely on the most.
Yeah, I'd say that the reason they missed the playoffs last year, though, ultimately wasn't just overall health, right? It was quarterback position. And I think at the end of the day, the league is predicated on your quarterback position. So if they get stability at whether it's Jimmy plays all the games, whether Jimmy and Trey split half the games, however it works out, that it's just those two guys playing. If I tell you that only those two guys start at quarterback, I feel they have a good shot. If it gets down, like those two guys disappear and we got third guys, right? That's a problem.
Nate Sudfeld.
That was their issue last year. Like they were at the bottom of the barrel of their quarterback situation. And part of the reason that all these teams are going to have a high, I would say, strength of schedule is because the division, right? I mean, it's just the Cardinals won eight games. The other two teams won double digit games. Like, it's just, you play in a division where you're not getting bottom feeders. Right. And that's just like part of the reason, I bet, if you looked at strength of schedule last year, the way it played out at the end of the year, I bet the NFC East was pretty skewed because their division was really shitty. Right. So you just ended up playing a lot of 4-7 win teams, where if you're the Niners, every team in your division that you all division games were either 8, 10, or 11. Right. I mean, that's a lot of wins.
Yeah.
Well, and also, if you think about their schedule, they ended up playing the AFC East, which had the Patriots, and obviously the Jets were terrible. Like, they played some shitty teams. They played the NFC East as well, right?
They played the NFC East again this year.
Their division skewed up.
The other thing is, like, what looks like a break one day may not be a break another day, right? Atlanta finished in last place in its division. The Niners play Atlanta. Would you rather play Atlanta or Carolina? I think you could argue you'd rather play Carolina. I don't know. We'll see how, we don't know how good Atlanta's head coach is going to be, right? Christian McCaffrey, all that stuff. But
to me, that's always a massive, when you have a brand new coach, it's a massive question on what you're going to look like. Like, you could be,
but that's a great example,
or you could be a red flag.
But isn't that a great example of why Wednesday matters? Do you play that team week 2 or do you play that team week 13?
But sometimes, when you play week two, they're harder, you know? Sometimes it's like they just got continuity and they're still solid, and then they turn out to be shitty.
It does go
both ways. I mean, for as great as the schedule release is, and we're going to pimp the shit out of it, I'm not trying to diminish what we're about to do, but it is a complete guessing game.
Well, it is. But again, would you rather play Trevor Lawrence? If I just said right now, would you rather play Trevor Lawrence week 2 or week 12? I think you'd pick week 2.
I would, but this, or the schedule release does matter. Am I going to Jacksonville? Am I playing them at 10 a.m.? Or am I getting them off a short week? Are they coming to me? Like that.
Well, I mean, you are going there. We know that. Yeah.
Oh, we know the home and away. You're right. Yeah. So, yeah.
But we don't know the other
times
stuff.
Matter. The times matter. Where you're coming off matters. Typically, when you play teams like the Jags, the Falcons, like, and you are going there, those are 10 a.m. games, right? You, like, the Bengal game will be a 10 a.m. Bengal game, right? They're not like, you know, Bengal game's at 4:30 Eastern time. Like, that ain't happening.
Nance really wanted to be there.
I went to a Bengal game one time as an advanced scout. Stadium sucks.
Crowd?
Pretty shitty. They were bad at the time. I think it was like Carson Palmer sit-out year. They were a disaster. Mm. It was ugly.
People, right now, go to wineaccess.com/ham to get 20% off. Our friends at wineaccess.com/ham, many of you have already used them, and you already know how great they are. All our listeners, you're getting hooked up with 20% off at wineaccess.com/ham. 20% off your first order.
Last night at Mother's Day, I was telling everyone about the deal. I said, you're a wine drinker, wineaccess.com/ham. Never stop selling. You get 20% off. Here's a great thing, that you can send an impromptu present to somebody. Everyone likes wine. And you can get nice bottles of wine. I mean, they have $100, $200, $300 bottles of wine. They also have like $15, $20 bottle of wine. And here's the key. to make it on wineaccess.com/ham onto Wine Access's website to be for them to sell. They only pick like one in every 18 bottles.
Correct.
So it's an exclusive club, regardless of the price point.
Yep.
But then you factor in, you get a couple bottles with the 20% off. I mean, it's like legalized stealing. It's one of the best deals, I swear, that we've ever had on this pod.
It really is. I think six bottles or like around 120, you get free shipping as well, which is awesome. So then you're sending gifts that are, you can send a great gift with the 20% off for $100. You can send multiple bottles of great wine. Team of wine experts. They've got a master of wine. They spent decades building relationships with not just the iconic wine producers, but the under the radar winemakers. Wine Access tastes over 20,000 bottles of wine a year. You are choosing from the best of the best. If you're not a wine expert like me, you can rest easy knowing that it all comes with a satisfaction guarantee, too. So if you don't like it, they'll replace the bottle. That's not going to happen. And every bottle comes with this awesome play sheet that tells you all about the wine, tells you what it pairs with, tells you about all the tannins, the acidities, the oak intensity, so you can learn as you go. And if you're a wine expert, then you'll see some of the best wine and best wine deals out.
You can pick the region. Sometimes when I'm out playing at like Chardonnay out there in Napa, and I'll look up and I'll see the private jets flying in. I'll be like, that guy owns a winery. Yeah. You know, that guy, and who knows? Maybe we send a gift. Maybe you're sending a gift. WineAccess.com/ham.
Maybe that plane is just shipping Haberman and Middlecoff wine. Maybe that's what it's
doing. Maybe it is.
Trust us. You're going to love Wine Access, too. Take advantage of this offer. WineAccess.com/ham. Do not forget WineAccess.com/ham. 20% off. Get it.
Do it.
They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause. You do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about Butcher Box for years. High-quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high-quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping, always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM.
All right. So one thing Peter King wrote about, John, is the trade with the Dolphins. The trade up to number 3 that the Niners made a lifetime ago. I remember where I was. Actually, I was on my way. I was about to leave for Napa when that trade happened on a Friday morning. If we look back at that video we made that day and my photos from Napa, I'm wearing the same shirt. So it was a celebratory weekend. But what did you take away from what Peter King wrote about that trade and ultimately how it went down for the Niners?
Well, I was fascinated that the original offer and was almost, you know, I guess loosely agreed upon was 3 ones, pick 12 and 2 more ones. So a net of 2 first rounders. And then ultimately, as the process played out, that one thing that was big with the Dolphins, and it makes sense after watching the way they drafted, and clearly they knew going in, they were not going to draft an offensive lineman. They wanted an impact skill guy, I think is one thing Brian Flores mentioned. They wanted an impact skill guy. And you know what? This is where I give them credit. It turns out all the impact skill guys, Chase, Pitts, Waddle, Smith, all gone by 12. This is where we talk a lot. I talk a lot. I think it's the most important part of the draft. This is why you're reading this thing about Miami and just kind of following along. Now, the Tua thing will kind of make or break them. They're clearly pretty smart. Honestly, if Tua failed, I would still stick with those two. Like, they missed on a quarterback, but I think those fucking guys know what they're doing, right?
I agree.
Listen to their logic. Listen to their logic. Listen to the guys they're picking. Like, they got a good idea of what's happening, guy.
They've done a lot to this point that we can judge on in terms of just how they value and what they value and whether they can play the market right now.
Yeah.
The stocks they pick still have to hit, but they've shown that they've made 28 trades in 28 months. As Peter King wrote, the Ravens in that same span made 14 trades. So twice as many trades, and the Ravens make a lot of trades.
To me, there's nothing else that an organization can do a better job of. When you see a guy who's a franchise player and you go, we're not going to pay them, and then you flip them like they did with Tunzel. Yeah. Now, they didn't draft him, but they flipped him because their whole thing was we were never going to pay him. Boom, they got rid of him, and that's clearly reaped a lot of benefits. But ultimately, they came back. And I'll never forget Parag told us this when we interviewed him a couple years ago. And you kind of laugh at it. But I do think that the more and more, you know, I notice with things we do when trying to get other people involved when it comes to advertisers sometimes, you can't always be trying. Like, you do have to meet people in the middle. Like, the best deals you're going to make are ideally somewhat where they both feel win-win. And they had basically accepted the offer, or at least it was like you know, in pencil, and then they kind of came back. John Lynch has watched his daughter play tennis. I mean, if you told me what are the chances she's a Division I tennis player, I'd probably lean closer to 100 than I would like 80%.
Well, John, he threw hard. I bet she serves pretty hard.
I bet she's probably pretty good. That they said we need an extra three, and then you and me were talking before we jumped on. Like, there is precedent with a trade from 6 to 3, and ultimately that's what Miami was going to do because they knew they were going to come back to get to 6. 6 to 3 cost the Jets 3 years ago or 4 years ago now with Sam Darnold 3 second-round picks. And I'd say, would you rather have 3 second-round picks or 1 first-round pick? Because that's ultimately what Miami was going to get sitting there at 6. And I don't think it's that crazy. 3 seconds, yeah. 3 seconds or 1-1, because ultimately Miami had to get rid of one of the ones to get back from 12 to 6.
Yeah, I mean, right? And again, if you told the Jags, we'll give you 3 2s for your one, it's always different when you start attaching players to it. But in the context of this, right, if the Niners were sitting at 6, let's reverse the trade. Let's say instead of trading from 12 to 3, the Niners traded with the Eagles to go from 12 to 6 and then made another jump to go from 12 to 3, right?
Yeah.
Let's say they'd done it that way. I don't think the cost would have been any cheaper. Because we know Miami had to give up a 1. And so ultimately, Miami only got 1-1 to go. Not only. They got a 1. And then they added 3, the tennis 3 that he got from John Lynch, to go from 3 to 6.
So I think the deal was fair. And here's where I give the Niners credit. Because I think sometimes when you make a historic trade, you get defensive. It's a natural reaction when the media is going to ask, because the fans now are saying it. And it's just like the media loves Twitter, and that's where everyone freaks out. You overpaid. And I think the moment you tell someone they overpay, and this works as an umbrella with a free agent, and it works definitely with draft trades. People are natural, like, no, we just thought this was the value, or we believed in this. The Niners came out and said, we overpaid, essentially. Like, we knew we had to pay it ultimately a premium to trade up early, and we were comfortable with that. Because to me, their deal, they were very comfortable doing, we'll flip-flop you 12 and 3, and we'll give you 2 additional ones. To me, I'm sure that internally, like, that's a shitload. But ultimately, they're asking for a 3. It'd be like you buying the equivalent of this trade just with the 2 ones. Like, we'd use some of these housing analogies in, like, the hundreds of thousands. It'd probably be the equivalent of, like, buying a $5 million house. And then they come back and be like, you know, it's actually $5,125,000. So 5.125. Are you really going to bitch and moan over $125,000 when you're spending $5 million? You know, you could. And some people do. And I think sometimes in negotiation, ego and pride. But if you just look at the big picture, like, fuck it. Like, we're already spending $5 million. Right? What's an extra $125,000? And ultimately, the way Kyle said it, or, you know, the way they justified against John telling Peter, is that, you know, we have the third round pick from Robert Saleh, which I think you got to be careful with, because it's like, well, you know, I won seven hands of blackjack. Well, that is your money. Like, that is your pick now.
And it's kind of a fourth round pick, but.
Yeah, because it's the end of the round. So that probably made it a little easier, right?
It definitely made it easier.
I mean, the comp round.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is just it's not just how you feel about it. It's how you can present it, right? And you can present it as, look, we had two threes. We had to trade one of them. Fine. I think the way you price the house makes a lot of sense based on that, that you had this other third round pick. But again, I go back to how much cheaper would the deal have been if they had done it? And it's not just if they had done it on draft day, how much cheaper would it have been? Let's say it was cheaper draft day, which, again, I'm not convinced it would have been. But let's say it was. What are you paying that third round pick then for? You're paying that third round pick for the 3 weeks that you get to evaluate Trey Lance the way you want to evaluate Trey Lance, right? Spend the time with Trey Lance that you want to spend with Trey Lance and with Mac Jones and with Justin Fields. Like, they didn't get nothing by doing that deal early. That's the other thing I think we have to look at. They got something. They did the deal early for two reasons, and we only focus on one of the reasons. The reason we focus on is they did the deal early so nobody else could do the deal. That's what we always say. Oh, you did the deal 3 weeks early, so no one else could have done that deal 2 weeks from now. But there's two reasons. The other reason is you paid for access to the prospects that you would not have felt comfortable fully accessing if you were still sitting there at 12 and letting everybody know what you were thinking, or at least giving people hints of what you were thinking. Like, that's, they didn't get nothing by doing the deal early. So I look at that extra third they had to pay. They didn't get nothing. Like, and what would have been worse? You hem and haw for two more weeks and then you end up paying anyway. And now you lost 2 weeks of time. Like, if you had said throw in a fifth, you could have done the deal a month earlier. Hell, they might've done that. Right. They didn't get nothing by doing it early.
And to me, if ultimately they paid a third-round pick to end up with Trey Lance and not Mac Jones, that's worth it alone.
Well, then there's that.
Because if you told me that they wouldn't have the access to do all that stuff and still made the trade, maybe they do end up with Mac Jones that way. So I'd say the third-round pick to ensure Trey Lance, shit, I'll take it.
The other thing, don't you feel kind of good just reading that article if you're looking at it from a Niners perspective? That whole deal was a pretty high-level deal. Like, the Dolphins aspect of it was high level. The Niners aspect of it had vision. The Eagles aspect of it had vision. Like, those are three. I'll say this from afar. The Dolphins, I think, know what they're doing. Howie clearly, from a trade value standpoint, knows what he's doing. That whole thing came together maybe in part because it had three parts. From the Dolphins standpoint, it had three parts that all had a clear idea what they wanted to do. Like you said, what players they had targeted. Clearly, Miami had an idea what they wanted. I would imagine Philly had an idea what they wanted and didn't want. Philly wasn't about to draft a quarterback there.
I'll give you one. I think Philly has taken a little shit for using a third-round pick to go from 12 to 10 to get DeVonta Smith.
Yeah.
And I think Howie would say this. We would have taken DeVonta Smith or Waddle at 6 because, obviously we wanted Pitts. We knew he wasn't going to be there. We were going to take a wide receiver, one of those two guys. We ended up getting one of those two guys, and we added a first-round pick, right?
Yep.
So I think it worked out pretty well.
I would say in the retrospect, all three of those people in mind had a vision for who they wanted. They got who they wanted. And in the Dolphins and Eagles case, they got a little extra before they got who they wanted.
But I think part of this is understanding the value. This is, we've talked about the Raiders not getting it way before the draft. Like, you have, these guys were having these visions in the middle of March, right? This wasn't like a week before once you've had all the pro days.
I think March 3rd was when, when they started talking?
Yeah, and clearly the Dolphins, once they started working with the Niners, started calling Howie, right? So all these deals were kind of getting worked on. You have to have, part of being a GM is not just like, once a week before the draft, like, I got an idea. You should have these fucking ideas in January and February. And then obviously the more information that comes in, but to me, the best teams are so far ahead of the game on that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have an idea of who's going to get slotted where. It's like, you know the price points on the players. Now, you might be a little off, but it felt like most of these guys, all three teams, had a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Right?
It definitely does. It definitely did. March 3rd. We're open. We'll listen. That's what Chris Greer told John Lynch. Underrated part of a GM is how you are on the phone.
I do think part of it, too, is just you get better and better with relationships sure. with guys. Like, you really kind of know the way they tick. there is probably, you know, one pushback has always been the GMs are a little more sacred, like sacred cows than coaches. They get run through, and a lot of GMs just, it's harder for owners to get rid of them because it's kind of easy having them. You do just end up staying in that position a much longer than a coach, right? I bet if we just pulled up the last 10 years of the coaching picture, there is a ton of new faces. If we just did the GM picture, I would say that like 80% of the guys, even like the ball, like most of them are kind of the similar names, right?
Spend more time with the owner.
Just go around like the NFC West.
Yeah.
Snead, Keim, Schneider, Jerry, Spielman, Howie. Like you just go around the league. Gettleman's been a GM for the last decade.
Yeah, Jerry Jones has been at it for a while.
This was one of the first years there were like three or four GM openings. For the most part, most guys stay just in their spot for a long time. Like Dimitroff had the job for 15 years.
Yeah, and some of these were simultaneous, right? Atlanta and Detroit were both at the same time.
You're saying when they blew... Oh, you're saying with the head coach.
I'm saying they hired both together. I guess sometimes that happens anyway, but...
It's becoming a little rarer, though. It's becoming like less... Felt like that used to happen. They were on the same timeline. Now a lot of GMs get like two or three coaching hires.
Yeah, who's got personnel power in Atlanta? The GM, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he had
Blank.
Like...
He hired Arthur Blank.
Who?
The GM in Atlanta hired Arthur Blank. Not Arthur Blank. Sorry, Arthur Smith. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think Arthur Smith had so much juice. I'm not... That's a great question. I'm not super locked in
Detroit
with the
Detroit feels like the GM is in charge there, hired Dan Campbell.
Well, Albert Breer wrote that it was kind of like a mutual hire. Like, they were both just hired, and they hadn't known each other. So, I would imagine the GM has the personnel power on draft day, and the coach has the power during the season type. Those are probably the deals in those two places.
Who else? Arizona could be.
Yeah, I guess the Jets, he's been there now for 2 years,
right.
The GM. Feels like Jacksonville got a new GM, right? I mean, Balke and a new coach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Balke. Was the interim, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so one of our favorites, John, Mike Sando of The Athletic, wrote a piece. Was this Friday, I think it came out? It was great weekend reading. I read it on Saturday. Execs, what are they saying? What are they saying about drafts? What do they say about your draft? So we went through and we pulled all the quotes that Mike Sando got from anonymous execs. And we're just going to rattle through them and kind of analyze what we think makes sense, what doesn't make sense. I think I pulled these in order of the article. All right. So here we go. First up, this is exec. I love when they say like an NFC exec. You know, to show that they're not making the guy up, but it gives me no context for anything, you know? An NFC East exec. It's like, ooh, who could it be? The guy in charge of tickets in New York? So this is what he says. You can't pick the Alabama guy, Mac Jones, and have him turn out to be Daniel Jones. This is about the Niners draft. You have to pick the guy that looks the part and has big-time upside. Lance is starting exactly where the Buffalo guy started. High grit, high want to, works at it, loves the game, all those things that make you feel good about developing him. What do I think about the exec that calls Josh Allen the Buffalo guy? That's the first thing we address here.
I just think, you know, that's just kind of how they talk. You know, I mean, he could have just said Josh Allen, but it could be, you know, someone in the division doesn't want to give Josh Allen too much credit, you know? I just agree with the original, like the first part of this deal. You could not take Mac Jones. And back to talking about the value, if it cost a third round pick, if that was extra throw in just to get a peace of mind that led them to Trey Lance, like that was worth it alone. But this is what we said the whole time, where it had to be Lance or Fields. You had to take a swing for the fences. You just had to. And it would have been, there would have been a negativity to me just about every time that we went live, every time that you run into a Niner fan, it would not have felt the same. And I'm not saying Trey Lance, like most people don't even know, right? It's just a great part of anything. I mean, hope's a powerful emotion because you're just hoping. And that's what I think it is. But it's not because people feel great. People feel great that it ultimately right now that it was not Mac Jones more than they know Trey Lance. Because they don't. No, none of us. You and I watch more football probably than like 98% of people. And I never watched Trey Lance throw one pass live, right?
I think higher than 98% of people, but yeah, I agree.
It could, I mean, it's just, so part of it was just the anti-Mac.
One percenters here.
you could not draft Mac Jones. And I think that's what the league thought. That's what we thought. It was one of those, like, kind of universally agreed upon, like, they can't really do this, can they? When everyone kept saying it, like, it's they're really not going to do this.
I think
they didn't.
I think from people who follow the Niners, it was all partly was like, I don't make me, like, from fans who really like their coach, don't make me hate my coach. Kyle, don't make me hate you. From the rest of the league, it wasn't about that. It was more about, are they really going to misjudge just the value here of being at number three based on a prospect? And, you know, Daniel Jones, like,
he went sixth.
I mean, it felt kind of crazy when they did it. And right
felt
now,
crazy.
It doesn't feel like it's going in a good direction. But it's, to me, it's playing out the way it usually plays out with that guy. And that's not the way the Niners could have afforded to have it play out.
No. Now, I think the pushback would be, if Daniel had been drafted by Kyle, I bet he's way better. Just because he does have some... it looks really weird in New York at times. He has more talent than I think you're giving him credit for.
Yeah,
he's probably more physically gifted than Mac Jones. It sounds crazy, but he just is.
A former GM said this. Former GM? Wait, he's got to be anonymous as a former GM? Was he like, put my name on it? And Sando's like, no, this is only anonymous people. I would bet on Trey Lance as a former GM. I don't know how fast it's going to happen. A high character guy with talent going to an excellent system and an excellent coach. Then I'll read you, this is two quotes in one. Another evaluator, maybe a scout, maybe a middle cough out there, said the things to fix with Lance are easier than the things to fix with Fields. Most of that has to do with instincts, the quickness, the consistency of their reaction. So one guy who values Fields below Lance, and another guy who just says, I'm betting on Trey Lance.
Yeah, I mean, part of when the people you bet on in football, I think pretty consistently, are guys with a ton of physical, you know, talent, great athletic attributes, whether that's, if you're a wide receiver, size and speed, whether that's a quarterback, size and arm strength and athleticism, that are super high character guys. Like, that to me seems like an easy bet. That's why I think so many people are bullish on him, even though his resume is really small. There's not much to go off of. But they're going, super high character guy with super, super great gifts. Like, that's what more do you want to bet on? Because people often bet on super great gifts, average to below character. Those guys are always drafted in the top 10. The freaks, right? And those are hit or misses. But I think you do feel pretty good about betting on the high character.
When his skills, the question is not his talent level. The question is, can it translate to good quarterback play in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
And you have that question about literally every guy you draft anyway. The guys who have put 4 years on tape, we have that question about, right? Justin Fields put great stuff on tape at Ohio State. And it's a legitimate question to say, is he a great NFL quarterback? The second quote here to me, it would not surprise me, John, if we had all 32 boards, if half of them or more than half of them had Trey Lance higher than Justin Fields.
I think that's fair. I think Trey Lance was very, very highly thought of. And part of that, right or wrong, is just based on the lack of information.
That's right.
Like I have less information to go off of. I have a greater unknown. I have a greater, like, at least, even though Justin Fields ultimately only started 2 years, I think it was 22 total games, and Trey ended up starting 17. I think him and Mac Jones started the same amount. When I'm watching Justin Fields, he is playing Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin. Like, I am taking a huge guess on the level of competition. Like, it's a dramatic difference, right?
Shots fired at Dan Hawkins.
Dramatic difference. The Big 12, brother.
This is an exec. The only strange thing to me about the Niners is if you're keeping Garoppolo and if you're paying $25 million, you lose whatever benefit there is of having a quarterback on a rookie contract. I would have traded Garoppolo and just cleared the books, saved the money, gone into free agency with more resources. See, this comment to me doesn't, the timeline of it all doesn't make sense. I don't think you can, until you know you're drafting.
An educated comment.
And then the other part of it is you don't lose the benefit. The benefit will exist in 2022 if Trey Lance is good enough to move on from Jimmy.
Yeah, but I think his point is, like, right now, you could just trade Jimmy Garoppolo or cut him and have the space and go trade for Julio Jones. Like, it is a lot of space. I think he's a little high on his number. I think it's closer to 20 than 25. But the point remains, like, it is a large chunk of change, right?
Yeah.
$20+ million on a cap that went down is large. I don't think you could have made it March 15th without knowing they hadn't made the trade yet. You could justify it now. Like, could he be a post-June 1 cut? I'm just saying, like, you would it wouldn't make any sense if you didn't have another move lined up. But to me, if, like, you were ready to make another move to get Julio Jones, I'm just use him because he's a $20 million guy. Now, would I want to trade a second or third round pick for a guy that's 32 years old? And, you know, is it just safer to keep Jimmy? Like, there is a cost-benefit analysis to all this.
Yes, it is. One more exec. San Francisco is one of those teams that did a great job creating the narrative. They get treated kindly. Other teams with better records over the past 4 years get crushed. Look at some of their early picks. What makes you think Trey Lance is the right pick if you follow the record of their early picks? I think our buddy Chris Biederman wrote on maybe the week before the draft that I think the Niners, you know, the old Ron Wolf thing, which I've quoted before, you hit hitting 300 or 333, whatever. I think Ron Wolf hit 300 draft picks that ended up as starters. The Niners are like 285 coming into this draft, right? So they have missed. There's no doubt. And they've had some high-profile misses. Now, they've had some major, major hits too. But it is interesting to see a little somebody who feels like they're not getting criticized enough.
I do feel I think there's some validity to this. There's some jealousy within the league on how they get treated with a 24/7 kind of reach around, and how I know Kyle's been anointed, and just did people just love Kyle and John? And just based on their resume, they've had one season. Now, here's my pushback. Their one good season wasn't like they hosted a wild card game. I mean, they made the fucking Super Bowl.
Right.
They beat the shit out of everybody. They had the number one seed. Like, their one year was badass. And then, actually, if you really watch 20, it was pretty impressive, too. Like, I agree, like, you want to nitpick 17 and 18. It had some holes, some issues. There were some problems. There was a lot of unknown. He probably got anointed a little higher than they should have. But I'd say 19 and 20 were pretty impressive.
Here's what I say about this all the time. Whatever. You want to nitpick? Do they get too much credit? Would you, if everybody's coach became available, how high would Kyle Shanahan go? I think he'd go really high. I think he'd be like one of the first five coaches taken. So whatever. Yes. Like, say he gets too much credit. Whatever. I think he'd get – that's how I talk about him. That's why I talk about him. However it is, whenever we – that to me is the background. Now, he goes three more years, two more years, and he's not making the playoffs, and Trey Lance isn't good, and okay, that things change. But I think he does less with – I think he does more with less.
And this is the type of move where it's going to be like – there's going to be eventually a concrete opinion. Like, it worked or it's not going well.
Yeah.
Right? Once you get – now, it takes time. Like, we're just going to naturally react, and every human will, game to game, season to season. But you'll have two or three years looking back and be like, whoa – that didn't go well, or wow, that went pretty well.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be like, yeah, I was kind of middle of the road.
Because
just given what you give up,
right?
The expectations will be out. They already are. I mean, we're just talking about people universally are like Niners are top 10 team. Niners are top 10 team. And part of that though is when they had the roster, they were really good. And then last year, all the guys got hurt, and then they bring the majority of these guys back. Now we can nitpick. I don't think they're as good the roster as of 19, but they're definitely pretty good. Like, they should be a playoff team, and that's where the expectations this year. But the weird part is, what if Jimmy's starting the majority of the games and make the playoffs? Like, we won't really know much about Trey Lance.
No, I know. Well, here's the last part, last one from Sando. An exec says, Trey Lance is a ball of clay, and the only thing is whether he can process at the next level because he just doesn't have the experience. But all the talent's there. The mental part seems to be there. The personality seems to be there. All the pieces are there. He is developmental, so it makes sense to keep Jimmy for now. Pretty straightforward. We don't need to spend a ton of time on that, but I think that to me is the reason that's...
Was that John Lynch?
It just said an exec. Could have been John Schneider. I love when they always say rival exec. It's like, well, was it a rival exec or just somebody from like the Colts?
Yeah.
Rival exec? Rams or Seahawks?
But could a rival exec be just another team in the NFC that like says we're a good team too?
Yeah, that one didn't say right. Exactly. Well, are you really a rival? Rival is like, I think the reason you say rival is like this person should hate him, but he has begrudging respect.
Yeah.
I think that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
All right, John, before we move on, let's tell the people about NetSuite. NetSuite.com. Go to NetSuite.com/ham. NetSuite.com/ham. If you're still running your business on QuickBooks, you're out of your mind. You're running in quicksand. The bigger your company grows, the faster you sink with outdated software that just can't keep up.
Yep, guy. NetSuite helps you automate your key business processes and close your books in a fraction of the time. Think days, not weeks. 93% of surveyed organizations increase visibility and control over their business since making the switch from QuickBooks to NetSuite. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to graduate from QuickBooks. Like I said, you don't want to be stuck in quicksand. Get with the times, people. Get with the times.
Head to netsuite.com/ham. That's special financing for you graduates at netsuite.com/ham. That's netsuite.com/ham. Stop wasting your time spending your days dealing with manual processes, system delays, and then a system delay, and then another system delay, scrambling to get the numbers you need. Get on solid ground. netsuite.com/ham. That's netsuite.com/ham.
Do it.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I got to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy Video Lock, and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, Video Lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. And now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look. I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
All right, Peter King, how about this? I thought this was a fun thing to dive into, and we can update this as the year goes along. Where did I put this? Here we go. Peter King had this in his... in one of his articles, or in his article this morning, he said, I think the over-under on Jimmy Garoppolo starting 2021 is 10 games. So he thinks Jimmy will start more than 10 games. Give me the over. Over-under 10 starts for Jimmy Garoppolo. My gut reaction, John, was under. I mean, every time Kyle Shanahan talks about him, he says, you know, Jimmy's only started one full season, really, when you think about it. And he's right.
He's not lying.
He's 1,000% right. So how can I bet on this guy on the over? And I think there's a chance Trey Lance is ready faster than we think.
Yeah, to me, there's just no way you could bet on the over, given that he's been in the league since 2014. Now, granted, he sat behind Brady, but he's had one season where he started more than 10 games, and that was the Super Bowl year. Every other game, every other season, even the trade year, he started the last 5 games. Next year, he started 3 games. He tears ACL. Then he had a Super Bowl year. The last year, he had 17 million injuries. Now, there is a path if he stays healthy, which would clearly be a Jimmy Garoppolo outlier season. And I was someone who was adamant he was gone. Now, I also assumed the whole time they were taking Justin Fields, not Mac Jones, but also even factored in if they take Mac Jones. If they took Justin Fields or they took Mac Jones, I do think it would have been harder to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, obviously, if they had Mac Jones, what do the Patriots have? And it would have made more sense. Like, Patriots ain't trading for Jimmy when they have Mac Jones. But I just think it would have been very difficult for those two guys not to be the starter. It would have been hard for the fan base to watch. It's a kind of an easy sell for a guy that no one has even seen. So it's like, oh, he's a project. You just say that. Everyone agrees. It's like, oh, I bet he is. You know, right? Just kind of universally agreed upon. Total project.
That's what Mel Kiper told us on this podcast.
He is. I mean, in the history of the league, like a guy like him is always sitting for years. If they are playing well and Jimmy is in there, like I have a hard time seeing them do like what a Brian Flores did last year with Tua, right? Because could you see them just benching Jimmy if they're winning? Now, remember Fitz was playing well.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jimmy as the Fitz in this conversation.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
But they benched Fitz
Jimmy's
for
playing
Tua.
Like Fitz. Yeah, but then they went back to Fitz.
I know, but they just benched Fitz. And remember, Fitz was like, I think went on a show or whatever, maybe just came out and was like, yeah, I was devastated. It was hard. Now, I'm not saying that was unique. He's a bridge quarterback. But part of it, like, they were winning. Remember, Fitz came to the fucking San Francisco and looked like Dan Marino.
I do remember that.
He was just good. He was clearly the best quarterback.
I would be surprised to see that. But part of that is like, well,
all-out quarterback switch midseason when they were like 8-2.
Well, part of what made it crazy is that Tua came in and then Tua didn't look great. You know, I think part of the reason you do that, you think, like if you told me right now Kyle Shanahan does that week 7, let's just make an arbitrary, I'd go.
But well, you factor in their 6-1 or something.
Yeah. I'd go, well, Trey Lance must be looking incredible, right? If Trey Lance then rolled out and was 80 yards or 93 yards passing in his first game, I'd go.
But even take it back a step, can you envision if they're 7-2, like midseason or whatever, I guess the midpoint is now, 8-9 games, could you envision them doing something like that if it was going really well? I have a hard time.
It'd be harder. I mean, I think Jimmy's probably
again,
at a different
I'm
place
factoring
than,
in Jimmy playing well, not like the team doing well and Jimmy being so-so.
Yeah, I think part of it, right, is Garoppolo's in a different place than Fitzpatrick. Like we've seen, we have plenty of Fitzpatrick data. Right, to know where the ceiling is and kind of what he is. Kyle could justify, Jimmy, I've never gotten, this is only the second time I've ever gotten Jimmy like this, and the last time I got him like this, we went to the Super Bowl. Ryan Fitzpatrick's never started 16 games, and his team went to the Super Bowl, right, based on, in part, the way he was playing. So that's, you're right, that is different. It would make it harder to envision them doing that. To me, the other difference, though, is I don't think they would do it. It felt like the Dolphins did it as like a let's see what we got here, not Tua.
Yeah, because they were kind of found money on being that good.
And maybe Tua,
they
were going to start Tua from the get-go and he wasn't physically ready to do it.
Well, that's part of it. He was injured. I do think you could also question, go, if you just Fitz would have been your starter the whole year, maybe you end up with 11 wins during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because remember, part of them, they controlled their own destiny and that kind of, they stumbled down the stretch a little bit because Tua wasn't as good.
I remember part of our conversation at the time, which was, are you going to pull an Arizona Cardinals and trade your first round pick to draft another quarterback in the first round? Because you have Houston's pick and Houston's bad. So, you know, you're going to have the chance to replace Tua, but you can't go through the whole season without knowing if Tua's good enough or not. Right. I think that that was part of what I thought and what we talked about.
Point.
I don't
good
know
point.
If they,
there are more variables at play.
You know,
it was a unique situation.
But to answer your original question, you're right. It would be surprising if the Niners are 6-1 and they replace Jimmy Garoppolo with Trey Lance. I couldn't see them doing that.
Yeah. The only way I could see is if someone was injured and they traded him.
Oh, if they like Trey's ready. Jimmy's probably a little better right now, but Trey's ready and we can get a second
round. Jimmy was
pick.
Playing well and they, yeah, even if they get like a third and they're just
get
like,
our
let's
third
do
back
it.
For Trey.
Yeah, something like that.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I would take the under, but I can see a scenario where he hits the over. Now, obviously, like, it would be an outlier health. Like, he gets hurt. That's part of it. Because if they're playing well and he's starting, I just think they're just going to keep going with it.
Yeah.
Like you said, part of it is someone DM'd me this a while back. Like, you envision a scenario where Trey Lance is just lighting it up in practice and the media is talking about it. I'm like, well, the thing that you don't realize, and most people wouldn't unless you are on our side, once the season starts, like training camp practice, not before Corona, you could just go watch the whole thing. That is not how the season is. Like Matt Maiocco gets 15 minutes of practice. Him, Barrows, and all those guys, they do not get to watch the entire practice during the season. You don't know. The only people that knew Mahomes was killing it, we're like Andy and Veach in the team. Like the media wasn't out there being like, oh,
how about the Chiefs? How about the Chiefs.com reporter? What do they do with that person? Does that person stay out there?
Or
does that
person... it probably depends how well he's liked by the group. It's probably a slippery slope. But you know what I'm saying? Like it's the takes in training camp when everyone just feels like everyone we know what's going on. That is not the way the season is.
And the NFL's smart. And there's less reps for that guy too. Even if everybody was out there, right?
Yeah, but he could even be like, part of it was like Mahomes was running the scout team and destroying their defense. Now, remember back then, their defense wasn't as good as it's become, but the point is, it was clear, holy shit.
Yeah. And he didn't start until week 17.
I wonder if you're Roger, like, would, you know, add 15 minutes and give the media 30 minutes just to create a little more buzz, maybe get a couple videos. I don't think it's crazy. Now, yeah. I think the it's where the teams really push back on, like,
Roger being like, you have to do 11 on 11 live for 15 minutes in front of the media.
Yeah, part of training camp, right, is just you're not doing schemes. You're just running your play. You're just doing generic stuff. I mean, in the season, you're implementing like double passes on the punt and stuff.
Right.
It's like, whoa, you should have seen the shit they ran. You know?
Yeah.
Belichick's like, doot, doot, doot.
It's not in your best interest, but.
It's work. I'd say the NFL is working fine with their setup.
I'll tell you this. If Trey Lance is in practice after everyone's left and he looks better than Jimmy, word will get out.
Yes.
Somebody will say something to somebody.
One big difference, too, is they loved Alex Smith. And they were not going to try to discredit Alex Smith. Even though, like, I think there were rumblings, like, this kid's pretty special. But they were not trying to be like... He's just going to kick him to the curb. I don't know if the Niners will feel as obligated with Jimmy.
They may not, but there still is the trade value that you're talking about.
Yeah, but if his play is speaking for itself, why does it matter?
Well, you don't want to give any hint that like, we're looking for a reason to just kind of, we don't like him.
That's probably true.
But to your point, your actions might just speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Speaking of actions speaking for themselves... a lot's been made of Justin Fields' draft video when he was on the phone with your boy Matt Nagy, who could not have been more thrilled to draft Justin Fields. I don't blame him. You sent me the video last night. When did this video come out? Has it been out for a few days?
I saw it on the meme. So
I thought it was going to be a big joke. You sent me a meme. I'm like, this is going to be funny.
I would imagine it got out in the next 24 hours. I mean, clearly they were taping at Justin Fields' house.
And then it wasn't actually a joke. It was just Justin Fields on the phone.
Now, if Justin Fields was at the draft, he would have been the number one camera guy past like pick five.
Over Mac Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both those two guys. I mean, Mac was. They kept going to him. Part of it is teammates kept getting drafted. But you know what I'm saying? Like he was, for a large period of time, where did I hear this? So I was listening to something on a podcast and like the Jags were seriously like the two guys that they honed in on were Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence.
Trent Dilfer said that to Russillo.
Okay. That's what it is. And guess who you're right. That is where I heard it. You know, Trent Dilfer's like best friend is Trent Baalke. So when he's saying that, he's saying that with confidence of like, they were taking that shit seriously. I've heard and listened. Whether it's true or not, you've heard something different. There's a lot of stuff out there. I do think the Niners were really interested in Justin Fields, and he grew on him. I'm just putting myself in Justin Fields' perspective and with his agent. Going 11 probably felt like a dramatic tumble for the kid, right? He had to go into draft night thinking, I'm a top five pick, right, in some form or fashion, whether it be a trade or whatever. When you get to like 8, 9, it's got to just be kind of rattling.
Let me say this first before I answer that. I do think the reaction we saw from him was understandable. I don't think it had to do with the Bears. I think it had to do with this. The fact that he thought he was going to go earlier than he did. I'm not watching that going like, oh, Nagy's getting this guy, doesn't want to be there. For me, the question...
I'll give you just a basic one if you're him. Trey Lance went over me.
Exactly what I'm getting at. Like, well, two parts. One, I just had a pro day where it was basically for the Niners. Right?
Yeah. It was.
I had a pro day for the Niners, and they made me feel I came out of there thinking, like, they like me. So then they said no. And not only did they say no, they drafted the guy from North Dakota State.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta whose quarterback is like 2 years max away from being done there.
Where I'm from?
They said, nah. And then the Panthers pick Sam Darnold over me. And we just start going down the list of the other
teams. The Broncos don't have a quarterback. They got fucking Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. And he's like, no, we'll take a corner. You know how Patrick Surtain in NFL circles is described? He's like a stand-up double. No one's like, you know, this guy's the next Jalen Ramsey. He's like, no, he's just a good player. Albert Breer described him as a fairway finder. They just wanted to hit the fairway. It's like,
it's a little high for
the top 10.
Finder.
You're hitting a fairway. I know. So if you're Justin Fields, you're like, they're doing fairway finders over me? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't blame. I look.
You're pulling out the 2-iron? I'm a driver.
I don't blame him.
He was really rattled.
I
truly believe this. In recent memory, he's got to be in the quarterback influx, just his pure physical attributes. It's pretty crazy that he was there at 11, just the last 3 or 4 years, where guys, five-star, produces, 4.440, huge arm, accurate, Ohio State, like, never been in trouble or anything. Like, the worst thing I've heard is, like, you know, he's got a little five-star vibe to him. Like, a lot of guys do. Like, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Went 11. In his mind, he had to be like, I'm better. Zach Wilson? You think Zach Wilson's a better quarterback than me? Trevor Lawrence, we were 1-2. Like, Zach Wilson? You see some of the memes about him? Like, he looked a little overwhelmed the whole night. Just some of his, just around the other guys. Now he's a baby face, but still, like, I do understand if Justin Fields' camp is like, we got fucked.
Justin Fields, hard
to say that, but...
Well, maybe used, though. Because I don't... What? You think the Niners were more into him than I do. But maybe he feels like we got a little used here, right? I would understand that, feeling that way. Even if you weren't actually... I would understand being...
Oh, you're saying that they feel they got used as a pawn in this whole thing?
Yeah. That's certainly possible, depending on... Yeah. But it might be as simple as, I thought they were going to take me and they didn't, and that's where I wanted to go, and I was going to go 3. When I came out and signed, I was the number one quarterback. Trey Lance was 49th. I'd never heard of Trey Lance when I signed, right? That might be what Justin Fields is thinking. I don't know. But at the end of the day, maybe this is my my ultimate point on this. Maybe this turns out to be good for Chicago. Like, did they get a Justin Fields? And maybe Justin Fields, wherever he went, was going to work just as hard as he could possibly work. But I've heard enough players talk about where they got drafted motivating them that maybe getting drafted 11th. And one man's 199th is another man's 11th, by the way.
Yeah.
He could be just as devastated at 11 as Brady was at 199. Maybe this
Rogers 24 was there 199. Yeah. It's all relative to that year.
Maybe this is his fuel.
Part of like Mitch Trubisky's like, I just went 2.
Winning.
Yeah.
So maybe this is Justin Fields' fuel. I would guess that when Justin Fields shows up, I had the list here. When do rookie OTAs? Turns out OTAs are going to happen.
They got canceled, but it turns out they didn't get canceled because none of the players listened. Even though Tom Brady, you see, got on the call last week and told them all we're getting screwed. It's like, Tom, this isn't about you. It's about all the working class people. I think all the rookie OTAs are this weekend. There were three last weekend, and the theirs are this weekend.
The Bears start the 25th. Bears is the 14th rookie minicamp.
Gotcha.
I think the Niners is Friday. What day is the 14th? 10th, 11th, 12th?
Yeah.
13th. That's Friday. Yeah. So I would imagine the Justin Fields that walks into the Bears facility is a Justin Fields who's pretty fired up to be a Bear, ready to go to work. Now he's going to have to earn that job. Andy Dalton, Andy Dalton's a real NFL quarterback, but I would imagine what we saw was just about everything we just talked about, not about, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to play for Matt Nagy. I don't think it's about that. Would you rather play for Arthur Smith? I mean, you would based on where it is, but he went to the Bears.
Yeah, but you never know. To him, that might not mean that much, right? That is something you always got to put in the back.
It might not, but here's the thing. I think even history aside, like, you end up, when you play for the Bears, you end up getting treated differently than about 20 other places get treated.
Yeah, it's a massive franchise. For as shitty as that day probably was to him, it has an opportunity to work out really, really well. Because here's the other thing. The bar's really low, I don't know, for Bears quarterbacks. So it's like, I told this to someone with the Bears. I just believe this, and I've seen it. I saw it with Jimmy. I think you see it with a lot of rookies that just teams franchises when they're desperate. I think you saw it a little with Baker in Cleveland. When we want it to work, a fan, someone in that city, with whoever it is, if you're a Browns fan, like, Baker is supposed to save your franchise. And I'd say with Justin Fields even more, not only save your franchise, but you kind of fell into it. Like, Baker, you did draft him number one overall, so it's probably held to a higher standard. But I think the whole town is going to try to lift him up. Like, they want it to work. They're going to have his back, even if, like, he has a rough rookie year, because they're going to feel lucky to have him. And I think your landing spot with the fan base sometimes can be, like, I actually think Zach Wilson's kind of going at a weird time, because he's taken over for another younger guy who wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. It's not as easy of a landing spot as you'd think.
Yeah.
It's sometimes easier when it's just been really shitty. Like, Mac Jones, actually, he's not filling Brady's shadow, because they had the year, even Cam was pretty terrible. They're like, just kind of open to, like, I can just give us normal quarterback play again.
Also, with Fields, like, no one's wondering, what does this guy look like? They just want to know what he looks like as an NFL quarterback. To your point on comparing him to Wilson, Jets fans, part of watching him is like, is this guy going to look like an NFL quarterback the first time we see him in a preseason game? Or is he going to look like he doesn't belong? Right? There's this whole other big question with them. I'm with you. I am with you. Bears fans are right now feel thrilled to have him. They're going to go, I don't want to say easy, but plus they are rooting for him to beat out Andy Dalton. Like, he's the good guy in this situation, no matter how it plays out.
Well, there's another curveball guy that if Rodgers somehow is, they can't work it out and is traded, and Fields can have a good rookie season, and the Bears can make the playoffs, all of a sudden, like, he could have, like, a legendary franchise rookie season. Like, we got our rookie quarterback, Rodgers out, the guy that we could never beat, and all of a sudden, we're the fucking toast of the town? Or toast of the division? It could just be one of those, like, bang, bang, booms. Now, you need Rodgers to go before we can talk about that, and I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon.
Peter King wrote he thinks it's going to be at least a couple of weeks before anything takes place, but who knows? Maybe it feels longer than that. A couple other things, John. Tim Tebow's back in the league.
I saw that.
Same with the Jags. Bob Baffert's horse. Oh, you got a thought on Tim
really
Tebow?
Quick on Tebow. Has not played in 8 years in the league. It's a long time.
But he's been playing high A baseball. 8 years is pretty crazy.
It's a long time. Now, he does eat avocados. He doesn't dip chips. He uses a spoon. Like, he's a health freak. So,
and doing a position switch.
Yeah, to me, my biggest question is, you know, just a former guy who used to beat the bushes, would be, one, just blocking. Like, is he going to be able to block?
Or
like,
want to?
I tweeted this out. Honestly, guy, if he makes the team, like, legitimately makes the team, it might be his greatest accomplishment.
His.
Post Florida.
More impressive than Jared Hayne making the 49ers?
I'm talking Tebow.
No, I'm not talking. I'm just asking now. I'm just throwing out Jared Hayne.
Yeah.
Whose name?
Yeah, that one's tough. This guy fucking switch positions at 33? That means he could catch, like, the pushback would be, why didn't you try this years ago?
Wanted to try baseball.
They are going to be, you always hear this, and I always just nod my head, but, like, when someone dude that lives down in the area, like, college is king down here. You know, when you, like, live in Alabama, New Orleans, Florida, Atlanta, they always say that about the NFL team. Like, what Peyton did and Breeze did, making an impact in a college area, it's been incredible. It's been incredible. Even, like, Matt Ryan got a little bit of a credit. Like, he's made the Falcons important down in college country. Guy, if Tebow makes the team, you got Tebow blocking, you got Trevor Lawrence and ETN, and they've been an enormous factor the last 3 years at Clemson right there, who's a powerhouse. And you got Urban Rome in the sideline. Like, that will be the biggest just casual college guy draw to the Jags. They have an opportunity. Tebow's got to be good. But if he can be good enough just to make the team, they're going to have some eyeballs down in that region. I don't know. Like, you and me might not care that much for, like, a 5-6.
No,
team,
I care.
Yeah, I'll pay attention. But I'm in. You agree, though?
Absolutely.
Like, don't you think that place is going to be kind of viewed as, like, the SEC on steroids?
Well, you'd have two of the largest star quarterbacks of the last 20, I mean, ever. Certainly Tebow. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think, became like a Reggie
Bush. He was like
a
star more for NFL stuff than he was for college. Yeah. The division sucked. Tebow, probably the biggest college guy of the last 20 years, I think. Right?
Tebow or Reggie.
Yeah.
Bob Baffert's horse. Did you hear about this one? Kentucky Derby?
Does the horse need to answer for his sins?
Did you hear the excuse?
I thought Baffert said we never gave it to him.
The what they're claiming is that one of the guys who takes care of the horse was not feeling good, drank a lot of cough medicine, peed on the hay in the horse's stall. The horse ate the hay, and this chemical was in the cough medicine.
That's got to be one of the most ridiculous excuses.
Is that one of the best? I don't think I've ever, like, this is better than any baseball player Tony Bosch excuse.
Hasn't Bob Baffert's horses been caught for this before? Because Churchill Downs banned him.
Yeah, I don't know if he's caught for this specific steroid, but yes, there's been some smoke around Bob Baffert.
What do you think, and I don't know, like, did you see that the books are not, like, if you had the second place horse that should have won, you don't get to cash the ticket, and they're not going to take your money back or whatever.
Well, did they invalidate this horse's Kentucky Derby win? Not the books, did the Derby take the trophy?
I think it's being appealed, right? It's in the appeal
process.
So, yeah,
I don't think the books can award money to anybody else until this thing gets figured out.
Yeah.
But the books, people that won on that horse, Medina, whatever the horse is called, I don't know what the horse's name was, but...
Yeah, something like that.
They can't, like, demand you pay them the money back, can they?
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I
already spent it.
It's just, I did not hear that excuse. That is a fucking incredible excuse. Honestly, it's so outrageous. Feels like there's a little truth to it. Doesn't it feel it's outrageous enough to, like, I can see that.
One thing I wonder is,
if you're just there, right, and there's no bathrooms out there, you just piss. People,
the horses are pooping
around
there.
Farmers, we just pee outside. Yeah. Farmers just pee outside. You just pee in the whole, hey, horse doesn't care. You're all just horses pooping.
Absolutely.
And peeing.
Horses doing just like gallons worth of work. But you would think,
it is believable the guy would pee in the hay.
For sure,
right?
But like out of some respect for the horse, maybe you pee somewhere else.
Yeah, the horse is pretty
important.
Hey,
bro.
Yeah, you would think.
Like,
yeah.
Guys.
My question would be...
We had a beer last night. Don't pee in the horse's hay with the alcohol.
My thing would be, how much are you really peeing to, like, have it sit there and be strong enough to then test positive? How many days before does it sit in the horse? Like, if you're going to make that excuse, you would have to back that with, like... Well, even if that's the case, it would only stay in the horse for 15 hours.
You have
like,
to have footage.
You know,
would you have footage of the guy going in there at a certain time? The coming out, like doing this with his hands. Do you give the...
Baffert feels like a little bit of the... Baffert feels a little bit like Belichick, Ian Villain of the whole horse race.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's so much better than everyone else. Stop. He's by far the most famous guy. But he definitely has some shady shit on his resume.
And this horse came out of nowhere.
Didn't you tell me it was $1,000
buy by the rich
guy? Yeah, like $1,000
or maybe $5. It was a very cheap horse that they...
Which is not the way it works, typically,
no,
right?
If you were to give the horse steroids, maybe you would just have this excuse on deck in perpetuity. Like, every day before the race, you just always have somebody go in there, say they're sick, have footage of them at the Walgreens buying some cough syrup, have footage of them going in, have footage of them kind of zipping up as they walk out. Like, you just set it up. You just have this excuse ready. Like, this excuse is going to be so unbelievable that you're going to have to believe it, because who would make this thing up? Cough syrup?
I did see an interview.
Witnesses say they did see him coughing the day before.
I did see an interview where Baffert was like, you know, surrounded by reporters, was like, I got the call this morning. Just some bad news. Like, bad news? Like, this is a career ender, buddy.
He said it's cancel culture.
This is bad news. Your horse got fucking caught with, something it's not supposed to take. These horses, too.
They know the difference right and wrong, you know, the horses.
Yeah, I know. I just want to hear from the horse.
The horse needs to speak for himself. So, later, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.